The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What are you afraid of? Am I not here? Is it not I who... How am I doing it? I'm trying to translate the awkward Spanish. But am I not here as your mother? This is a feast of the practicality of Mary's maternity. The Gospel today, we have St. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, who cries out, "How does it happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Mary, as soon as she had received the message of the Archangel Gabriel, went in haste, that her faith overflowed into her maternity. And she wanted, with spiritual maternity, to care for her elderly kinswoman who was 6 months pregnant. And off she went. And Mary's been traveling ever since, traveling with a messianic missionary before he had even had the tiniest of feet in her womb, so that he would be able to make others leap for joy. Mary's continued that. In the book of Revelation, we see the church personified in Mary at the maternity ward of Golgotha, giving birth in pain to the family of God, Jesus' brothers and sisters, whom he had entrusted there in Mary's third annunciation as her own sons and daughters. Mary was there strengthening them, mothering them, helping them to learn how to offer everything together with Christ, sacrifice to the Father. We mark today the 488th anniversary of the completion of these 4 days in Mexico City between Mary, St. Juan Diego, and Bishop Juan de Zumárraga. And there Mary revealed herself precisely as a mother, so that we would have no fear. A mother precisely of mercy, who would intercede for the healing of Juan's uncle and incorporate that into this whole scene. And Mary, just like she mothered Elizabeth, just like she mothered St. John, just like she mothered the Lord Jesus, just like she mothered Juan Nieto Dieguito, she seeks to mother us. What can we learn about how to receive that gift? We learn a lot from St. Juan Diego. Mary, just as she was chosen with great specificity by God, chose Juan Diego with great specificity. All he saw were the excuses why he was the worst one ever to be chosen. 57-year-old widower, 7 years a Catholic, shuffling off anywhere from 6 to 15 miles each way to daily mass, depending upon which ancient story you wanted to read, where the daily mass was that he was going. But off he went because of a love for the Lord, a real desire to grow, to hear, believe it or not, the words of the holy priests. That's why he had said he was going to daily mass, not even yet for Jesus in the Eucharist, but to hear the words of the holy priests, the Franciscans who had come He was one of a handful of converts by this time. There hadn't been the vast evangelization of Mexico because the vices of the conquistadors were more conspicuous than the virtues of the Franciscans who had accompanied them. And so many were afraid to convert. Mary, knowing all of that, came as a pregnant mestiza Aztec princess about to give birth to Jesus in this hemisphere. But she was going to incorporate Juan Diego into that mission. So sent him, as we know, to Bishop Juan de Zumárraga asking for a teocalli to be built. Totally crazy thing. I mean, I love Bishop Zumárraga because so often in my work as a pastor, I have had lots of people come to me with messages. And you know, my typical response is, listen, Our Lady knows where I am every day at 4 o'clock in the morning. If she wants to give me a message, just ask her to give it to me directly. Because, you know, I mean, there are just a whole bunch of people who, to use the technical theological term, are a little nuts. And they come. And you have to test everything. It's part of our job to see that it was good. And so Bishop Zumárraga recognized that Juan Diego was simple and sincere, but he wasn't going to build a church just because somebody came and said Our Lady appeared to him. So off he went as a total failure in his own mind. But this was all part of the plan of encouragement by Mary, the motherhood, the getting him ready to continue to confront those fears and go back. Second time with the message, when she insisted that he visit him again. The first time, the secretaries of the bishop treated him very poorly. The second time, they met him with total exasperation, kept him out in a courtyard for several hours before they would admit him to see it. And with compassion, Bishop Zumárraga simply said, listen, ask that woman for a sign. A sign that he had had in mind, something with a lot of nostalgia for him, but also a sign of Our Lady, that mystical rose. And so he went back again, failing. And the following day, the devil, as he always does, tries to distract by throwing some other thing in the way. And in this case, it was his love for his uncle. The devil's often going to tempt us by good things. And so he was trying to go visit his uncle and totally avoid where that lady had appeared to him. But she went like a loving mother and met him on his detour, said that his uncle had already been cured, and to go pick roses at the top of the mountain and bring them to Zumárraga. Picked him in the tilma. What's the timing of everything has always been fascinating to me. You know, it was clear that there was no image in the tilma when he picked them. The tilma was an external sign in Aztec culture of who you are as a person. So you would, in a sense, advertise who you were, and Mary was going to become part of the very interior fabric of Juan Diego from this point forward. And he picked them and dutifully brought them to Zumárraga. That was, as you know, the sign he had asked. But then he got a sign he hadn't asked, and nobody would have ever imagined, on that tilma, at the very moment that the roses were dropped. It was there. How do we know that? We know that from the eyes. Because there's, when you magnify the eyes 25,000 times, you see 18 figures in the eye. It's incredible. Including things that match the very image of Juan Zumárraga, the bishop, with his white beard and bald head. Straight there. The image in Mary's eyes was what she was looking at when that image melted into that tilma in ways that science has never been able to prove. You know, when you look at all of it, the temperature of the tilma is 98.6 degrees in an air-conditioned church. How does that happen? All the symbolism, the fact that there's no scientific explanation for how that ever got onto the tilma, when you get within 4 inches, the image fades away. And then likewise, the Parnesian effect in the eye, the reverse upside down image, the way the eye works, that was totally unknown 488 years ago. And there it is, when you magnify it by 488 times, what it happens. Clearly a great miracle, showing that Mary maternally holds us as the apple of her eye. What do we learn from all of this? Mary likewise wants us to be her ambassadors, as she called to Juan Diego. We might think we're not the greatest candidates. We have every excuse in the book. There are so many more important personas who would be able to be sent. But she likewise wants to incorporate us in this mission. Jesus wanted to evangelize this hemisphere precisely through his mother. And we have to learn that. One of the reasons why we're struggling is because the church isn't sufficiently maternal. Clericalism is such an evil, and it needs to be addressed. But what we don't talk about at the same time is the maternal nature of the church and the real leadership. For generations, when the church was thriving and growing, the whole church learned spiritual maternity through religious women. Your vocations now are ever more needed. But it has to be a reflection of the maternity of Our Lady. So what do we see in her maternity? We see the tenderness. We see the constant, patient encouragement of every child. But we also see the boldness. She's always going outside. She's always going with haste. She's confronting various obstacles. Sister Talitha's no longer here, but I can still do it. She's confronting and stomping on the heads of devils, for whom she has great enmity. And just as assuredly as she went to Juan Diego, she comes to us to try to make us leap, because of the presence of her son, and not stop leaping there, but leaping ahead to bring others that same joy. Today, as we prepare to receive that son whom she received with such love within, let us ask for the grace that as we receive her together with that son, we together with that son and his mother and our mother might go out to a world that needs this truth just as much as 1531.